Well, welcome again. We begin a new sermon series called Indispensable, The Relationships That You Cannot Do Without. So over these next several weeks, we're going to be looking at what are some of those indispensable connections and relationships that God has placed around us. And so we're hoping and praying that over these next 4 weeks that we would be encouraged, inspired, and challenged to really see what God has for us. Not just in terms of how we are blessed in material ways, but how may God might bless us relationally. So I want you to join me for a quick word of prayer. God, I'm always excited of the things that you are doing in and around our lives. And there's no better place to see that than what you do when we come together in worship. How you use our liturgy, our songs, to really answer so many prayers. Sometimes not even the ones that we have currently, but it's ones that we have coming up, the ones that are on the way. And so I'm just grateful for God that is always providing for us in each and every way possible. And so we stand on your hope today and stand on your word that when the word goes out, that it shall not come back void. For this is our prayer. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Indispensable relationships that you cannot do without. It's one of the most important decisions that you will ever make in your life. In fact, studies have been done, and people are able to draw a connection between this decision and your level of satisfaction, your level of success, and even the duration of your life. And I would even suggest today that it even affects the quality of your faith journey with God. Now, there are a variety of decisions that you will get to make in your life. And there are some that you don't get to make. I mean, we don't get to decide where we are born. We don't get to decide how we were raised. We don't get to decide our family. We don't even get to decide our family history. But we do get to decide our important relationships. One of the most important decisions that you will ever make in your entire life are the people with whom you decide to be in relationship. Your relationships play a critical role in your life and in your faith journey because we are largely determined by the company that we keep. In fact, the Bible puts it like this: walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. JCG translation, you don't have to be a fool to suffer harm, you just gotta hang with them. Now, it's not dictated by personality because we are created and wired for connection. It is who we are. From the Bible's first words, we learn that it is not good for man or woman to be alone. We are created in the image of a communal and triune God. God, Father, Son, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is just who we are. It's why we join clubs and teams. It's why we join churches and get involved in groups. It's why we join book clubs and bridge groups. I mean, people will go to great lengths and even in unhealthy ways to feel this need for connection because we are wired for relationships. Now, it has nothing to do with whether you are introverted or extroverted. I already know what some of you are thinking. Because your life, regardless if you are an introvert or extrovert, is greatly influenced by the quality or lack thereof by your significant relationships. I mean, think about the significant moments over the span of your life, and many of them have some relational aspect to them. So for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at those relationships that are indispensable. The people along your journey of faith and journey of life that you cannot do without. Now, the idea is based off of a book called 11 Indispensable Relationships by Lynn Sweet. Now, we only have 4 weeks, but we'll have a midweek message to give you on social media that will pick up on some of the other indispensable relationships that we think that you need. Now, one of the first indispensable relationships is a Barnabas. Somebody say Barnabas. Barnabas is your encourager. Somebody say encourager. Now, this is how the author defines it. He says, a Barnabas is an encourager. Someone in your life who is constantly saying, atta boy, atta girl, when you have had more than your fair share of jabs to the ribs and stabs in the back, who puts his or her arms around you and whispers, don't let them get to you. I believe in you. That's your Barnabas. You need affirmation, attention, and encouragement as much as you need food, shelter, and rest. Another person put this definition of encouragement, that encouragement is the expression of affirmation through language, of symbolic representation to instill courage, perseverance, confidence, inspiration, or hope in a person within the context of addressing a challenging situation or realizing a potential. So here's the million-dollar question. Who or what encourages you? Who's your Barnabas? Now, here's why everyone needs to answer this question, because everyone needs a Barnabas, because at some point in your life, you are going to face discouragement. In fact, the text is quite clear on the necessity of this relationship between you and Barnabas. It picks up at the start of Paul's ministry, and things are not going as planned. A few verses earlier, Paul has this transformative experience with God, and he changes his life around, and you would think that that would be a moment of celebration. I mean, they have living proof of the transformative power of God, and Paul is a living witness to what can happen when God intervenes into someone's life. But they do something else other than celebrating. I mean, the text reminds us that he's not welcomed with open arms. In fact, there is a plot to kill his life. And things are getting so bad and things are getting so crazy that they have to put Paul in a basket and lower him down a wall into the city because people are trying to take Paul out. I mean, he's trying to turn over a new leaf, y'all. He's trying to become a different person. He's trying to do things differently than his life. And now the brother's trying to get killed. Listen, let me tell you something. There will always be something in your life that will discourage you from who you are trying to become, where you are trying to goal, and the call you are trying to live. Discouragement will always come. And it'll come in three ways. It'll come, number one, in what people say. These are the harsh, unkind words that diminish your spirit, what people post on social media, what they say behind your backs. They will come through systems or unspoken expectations that prevents advancement. It's intentionally making something hard to dissuade someone or a group of people. Or three, there are these unfavorable circumstances that you don't want or didn't plan to deal with. It's the rejection, it's the layoff, it's the setback. It's something that can happen that radically prohibits movement in a particular direction. In fact, I found that what makes people quit, it is not their lack of passion. It is that they aren't prepared to deal with the discouragement that comes along their journey, because there will always be something in your life that would discourage you from moving forward. And here's the truth. You will face more discouragement when you are trying to do right, when you are trying to turn over a new leaf, when you are trying to do what God has called you to do. That's when you'll face discouragement. I've learned in my own journey, when I'm not trying to turn over a new leaf, when I'm turning away from God, when I'm not trying to listen to sound reason, there is no such thing as discouragement. But it's when we are trying to do right, that's when discouragement comes, when the call comes, so does discouragement. When the idea comes, so does discouragement. When the growth comes, so does discouragement. I mean, Paul was trying to remind people about the love of God, and he got discouraged. King was trying to teach people about radical love, and he got discouraged. Jesus came into the world to help save people and for him to be a bridge to develop a closer relationship with God. And even he faced discouragement. So what makes us believe that on our journey of faith that we won't face some discouragement? So in case you are wondering, yes, you will face discouragement somewhere along your journey. We'll question if we made the right decision. We'll second guess ourselves. We'll lose confidence. Discouragement doesn't discriminate. We will doubt our abilities. We were wondering if we were the right person for the job. We'll be anxious about the next step. So think of encouragement as your reinforcement. It's affirming and reaffirming what God has already placed inside of you. Your Barnabas is the reinforcement to the experiences of the discouragement that you will face in your life. In fact, think of it like this. So despite what I said in the welcome, we actually had tons of snow in Indianapolis the past couple of days. Now, my job at the house is to do all of the snow shoveling, but considering I'm from Detroit, I still don't like the cold. So when it's my job, I like to go out with reinforcements. I always have on a hat. I always have on my scarf. I never go out without a coat. I've got my socks on. I've got my boots on, I've got my gloves on, and again, I'm from Detroit, but I don't like the cold, so I'm not ashamed to wear layers. Now, what am I doing when I go outside with reinforcements? What am I doing? I know it sounds extreme, but I told you, I'm from Detroit and I don't like the cold. I'm trying to do two things. I'm trying, number one, to keep the cold out. Number two, I'm trying to keep the heat in to protect myself from the cold, but hold on to the heat that's already inside of me. You see, that's the role and the power of Barnabas in your life. It's a relationship reinforcement to the discouragement. Because someone who reinforces what you already know to be true inside of you. It is someone that helps you hold on to the confidence and the peace and the joy and the calling and the gifts that you already know that you have. It is somebody to remind you not to give up, somebody to remind you that God loves you, somebody to remind you to block out all of the naysayers and remind you of who you are called to be in the first place, someone that holds off all the negativity. So one that blocks out all the negativity and that helps you keep the heat in. But hear this, the work and responsibility does not lie solely on the encourager. It's not all just the responsibility of Barnabas, because as the recipient, as Paul, we have to be willing to be encouraged. Because too often we talk ourselves out of the very reinforcements that God is trying to send our way. Because here's why you have to believe them. Because the text says when he had come to Jerusalem, hear me, text says when he had come to Jerusalem, he attempted to join the disciples, and they were all afraid of him, for they did not believe. Somebody say believe. They did not believe that he was a disciple. Notice the word believe. They did not believe him. He's been called by God, and yet not everyone believes it. Now, if we're being real and realistic, I don't blame them. I mean, would you believe them? I mean, has Paul really changed that much? Is it just another way to infiltrate their request to arrest them? Now, here's why you need a Barnabas in your life, because you will never get 100% belief rate from the people in your life. Everyone always believes in you at the same level. Paul was already growing in popularity among the Gentiles, but not with everyone. Here's the critical question. Here's the critical question. Why does Barnabas believe in Paul when no one else does? Why does Barnabas believe in Paul to stay with him when he's having so much disagreement with other Jews? Because it's not as though Barnabas has a whole lot of history with Paul. That's not what the text shows us or tells us. It's not as though Barnabas has some special knowledge that the other people don't. We have no indication that Barnabas has received some special revelation about Paul from God. So why does Barnabas believe when a lot of other people don't? You ready for the million-dollar answer? See, this is why we pay all this money and go in debt to go to seminary. Here's the answer. Here's the answer. Because it's just who Barnabas was. Profound, isn't it? It's just who Barnabas is. Barnabas had a gift at seeing the best and believing in people, and that's what you need. Because Barnabas just doesn't say it, because a Barnabas is someone who believes it and believes in you. But you need somebody that encourages you and believes in you, and they also see the best in you. In fact, Barnabas was not his real name. His real name is Joseph. I mean, he was thought to be a highly respected person in the Jewish community. Some believe he was well educated, but it became his calling card. It was what people started calling him based on his character, based on his behavior. Barnabas means son of encouragement. And you don't find many other people in the Bible who's been given this delineation. It was his nickname because of his behavior. I mean, we learn about him in Acts chapter 4. Says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. It's just who Barnabas was. Now, here's the reality. And don't hate me and don't leave. Everybody can't be your Barnabas. Everybody can't be your Barnabas, because some people aren't Barnabas. You can't expect a Barnabas response if it's not already in them. Maybe they don't have the gift. They might love you, but maybe they can't play that role in your life. They've known you for years, but they can't be Barnabas. They know all of your secrets, but they don't have a Barnabas heart. Everybody around you in your circle can't play every role. There are some people that have a Barnabas spirit, and there are some people that have other gifts. Barnabas looks at this man that was just putting people in prison and sees the best in him and believes him, encourages him, and sticks with him. It is not because Paul is so great. It is because something is already built inside of Barnabas. He was encouraging people long before he met Paul. So sometimes we're so discouraged because we are trying to give the role to people who aren't gifted to play the part. There's a guy in Atlantic City by the name of Collins Days, and he pastored one of the largest churches, Second Baptist Church in Atlantic City, and I ended up becoming really, really good friends with him. And he had a habit of befriending every new pastor that came into Atlantic City. I mean, he would invite you. Once he learned that you were new, you were coming into the city, he would invite you to come and preach at his church so that people could get to know who you are. So he and I had become really, really good friends, and we were just starting a freedom school in Atlantic City, and I wasn't there long enough, so I didn't know where to ask for money. I didn't have a lot of social capital yet, and so we had to raise a lot of money in a short amount of time, and I was telling him about it, and he said, well, let's go down to City Hall so we can raise some funds. Oh, man, when he said we, I said, thank the Lord, right? I mean, this was gonna be the program of our church, but he had decided he wanted to join us in helping us raise funds. So we go down to City Hall, and he's introducing me to this person and to that person, and you know, he would say, you know, hey, Pastor, tell them about the program. And every office we went to, I mean, they sounded really iffy about making a financial commitment because they didn't know me from Adam. They didn't know me from Adam, and here I am with a new program asking for thousands of dollars. So when they would say, or when they would be somewhat uncommittal, Reverend Days would remind them how much money they had in their budget. Now, I don't know how he knew, but I didn't ask questions. So every office ended up committing some financial dollars to this new program called Freedom School that we were starting in Atlantic City. And we left that with a nice commitment of some dollars coming to this new program. Watch this, not because of what I said. It was not because of who I was. They were ready to invest in something, not because of me, but because of who believed in me. They didn't need to know a whole lot about how the program was going to work. But once Reverend Days brought me in there and vouched for me, they were ready to make a financial commitment. And here's the reality. Barnabas helps bridge the gap of unbelief. Because certain people may not believe in you, but there's maybe some people around you and your circle that they believe in. And Barnabas helps bridge the gap of unbelief, because sometimes when God says you're called, we don't believe it and we don't feel it. So Barnabas helps fill the gap. Sometimes God says you're loved or you're gifted and you're chosen, but there's a gap. There's a gap of belief. See, that's why your private affirmations are empty without public commitments. I want you to look at this scenario again. Paul was known in the Jewish community for murdering Christians. He's a great example of what happens when a religion goes wrong. So you can imagine the amount of enemies that Paul has accumulated over the course of his time. I mean, he pulled people out of their homes, pulled them out of their synagogues and have them arrested. But God had a different plan for Paul's life. God calls him to preach and plant churches. I mean, what we are doing with our online campus in Broad Rip, I mean, it's just God's way of sharing the gospel. Paul's so eager, he doesn't really give it time to blow over. Paul gets converted, starts preaching, goes right back into the synagogues. Now, just a reminder, just because you moved on doesn't mean that other people have. I mean, our conversion doesn't always heal old wounds. Nobody trusts him. People are afraid of him. His past has caught up to him. He's called, but he still needs help. He is one of the most gifted preachers and gifted missionaries of our Christian faith, but still he needed help. And Barnabas vouches for him. Now Paul is able to move freely, not because he's convinced them, not because he's won them over, not because he's so gifted, not because he's so called, but because somebody that they trusted made a public affirmation, made a public commitment, not just a private affirmation, because someone they trusted vouched for him. You see, at this point, Paul didn't need, hey, you can do it. Hey, Paul, just keep moving. At this point, Paul didn't need all of that, because the impact goes much further than what happens, just what people say behind closed doors. I mean, watch the impact of having a Barnabas. Because his encouragement takes the public commitment, and not only has the impact of encouraging Paul, but also encouraging the people that are doubting. Encouraging the other people that are trying to turn their lives around and looking for an example. and encouragement, looking for other people who may feel a call of God on their lives. People looking to be encouraged. In fact, I came across a post on social media the other day of one of our members. I think sometimes this is what's so powerful about whether it's social media, online things, is not just for the way that people to be connected to the church, but also a way for the church to be connected with people. In fact, I didn't even know this individual, but her name is Sarah Hawk, woman of our church. She's a member of our church who's a young woman going through a very difficult journey right now with breast cancer. She's had some surgeries, and coming up, she's got a round of chemo, and she's still got a long journey ahead of her. And she received so much public encouragement from people all over. I mean, she is vulnerable about her journey and vulnerable about her experience and about what this is doing to her as a newly married woman and dealing with all of this. And so it was so interesting hearing all of the encouraging things that people had online. I mean, things like, you go, girl. You got this, Sarah. Sending your prayers and strength. Sending you love and strength. I mean, if you don't think that your public affirmations matter, I want you to listen to her words. I mean, she shared a quote after she's going through this journey. I mean, she shares a quote. You probably can't see it from there. And Nicole said, I got to change some of the language. So here's what she said about her difficult journey as a young woman going through breast cancer, having surgery with rounds of chemo coming up. Here's why your Barnabas is so important. She says, losing your breast to breast cancer is nothing to smile at, unless you have the most ridiculously amazing support system in the world. Everybody needs a Barnabas, because discouragement will come, and you'll need somebody that believes in you and sees the best in you. And not someone that'll just say it with words, but whose words turn into public commitments. Because you never know who's watching, you never know who's reading, and you certainly never know who's scrolling. Amen. Won't you pray with me? God, each and every one of us has faced discouragement. We each have a call in our lives, gifted in our own ways. And yet we pray that you would remind us of those things and people that have encouraged us along the way. For this is one of the most important decisions, and we don't want to make it by ourselves. We have called on you to help us through difficult times. We've called on you for answers. We've called on you through times of grief. We've called on you when we needed provision and protection. But God, over these next 4 weeks, we ask that your Holy Spirit would guide us to help us nurture the indispensable relationships that we have in our lives. Because it's not just about our journey in life, but it's also about our journey of faith. For this is our prayer. This is our hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.